With the return of the great season of Lent, we might recall Lent of last year. At least it comes back to my mind, because last year in Lent, we suddenly had to learn a lot of new lessons about self-denial, about fasting, about charity, about obedience. I'm talking, of course, about when the pandemic crashed upon us all and we were suddenly locked down. It was in Lent. Ash Wednesday last year was normal. We had even children here. People could come freely. You could sit close to each other. But within a couple of weeks, well, I remember when the Archdiocese of Manila suddenly made an announcement that they were suspending all public masses for 7 days. I was shocked. I said, 7 days, no masses? What are they doing? Even the government wasn't that strict at that time. I couldn't believe it. The government was still trying to figure out what to do. Everybody was panicking. Suddenly the church said, no public masses. Well, within a few days, all the dioceses said, no public masses for 7 days. Then they said, for 2 weeks. Then the government said, no, until the end of the month. And then, as you know, it went on and on and on. And we thought, in Lent, we said, wow, this is really fasting. Can't even come to church. We can't even go out of the house. No one going to school, all the graduations canceled, our Lenten retreat was canceled, our Visita Iglesia was canceled, everything was canceled. And we thought, oh, we have to learn a new way of denying ourselves now. We'll do this for the whole of Lent. But then Holy Week came and all that was canceled. No Palm Sunday celebration, no washing of the feet, no public liturgies, even in the most holy days of the year, nothing. And we said, oh, well, with Easter, we can rise from this terrible time of self-denial. It didn't happen. On and on, week after week, month after month, and we're still in general community quarantine to this day. And now, full circle, we're back to Lent again. As if we didn't learn, as if the world didn't learn yet the lesson of self-denial. Well, the cancellation of so many things does not apply to the spiritual life. It doesn't apply to the love of God or our response of love to God. That is always in season. And that's why we welcome Lent again, because we need to be renewed in our awareness of the love of God and renewed in our response of love to Him. Lent is not only about self-denial, it's about love. The reason why we deny ourselves is so that our love will be purified and strengthened. The spiritual life continues whether we are alone or with others, whether we are here in the church or whether we're at home, whether we're in quarantine or whether we're in celebration, public celebration. And three of the fundamental elements of the Christian life, of the spiritual life, are given to us in today's gospel. What we traditionally call prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. So here we are, we're starting Lent, and we're being reminded these are the three things we have to put in place, we have to strengthen: prayer, fasting, almsgiving. All three. If we don't have all three, we don't really have any of them. Because if we think we're praying, but we're not denying ourselves or loving others, well, then our prayer is just empty words. If we think that we're doing a lot of fasting and self-denial, but we're not praying and we're not serving others, well, just a lot of empty show, like Jesus says in the gospel here. It's performed for other people to see. Well, let's look at these three. You might notice that it's not in the order that we usually say prayer, fasting, almsgiving. The first one in Jesus' sermon here, the Sermon on the Mount, the first discipline is almsgiving. As if to say the first thing we should be concerned about is not ourselves or even God, but others. This is the one we neglect. care for others, concern for others. Almsgiving is about what is given to others, what we do for them. On Ash Wednesday every year, our bishop, Bishop Mercado, urges us to be generous to the Hapagasa program, the fast to feed program, so that whatever sacrifices we make will make it possible for us to give more to that program of feeding the malnourished. And as we know, malnutrition is worse now than it was last year, because poverty is worse now than last year, and many people don't have enough to eat. So as part of your almsgiving, you can contribute to the collection today. We don't take a second collection here. The one collection and all of the collection will be given to the Hapagasa feeding program for malnourished children. But that's not the only way, of course, to be concerned about others. What we do in Lent is we open our eyes to the needs of others. What we might not notice because of our own selfish concerns and distractions, now we should notice people in need, people who are sick, people who are lonely, people who are unhappy, people who are hungry. God sends us to them. The second one is prayer. The second of the three disciplines that Jesus speaks about is prayer. Prayer, not in public ways or in showy ways, but prayer in the secret of our inner room. In Lent, we should, and I hope you will, make a deliberate decision to improve your practice of prayer somehow. The church is rich with prayer and devotion. There's lots of ways to pray better. Maybe we don't have to change what we pray, but do it better. Here in Anuim, we stress pondering the Word as the food for our prayer. If you've been taking the Word of God for granted, Lent is a good chance, a good opportunity to renew your love for the Word of God, to pondering the Word. Don't skip it. Don't shorten it. Don't do it superficially. Listen. Listen and ponder. This is also the year of St. Joseph. So the Holy Father and the Church is encouraging us to grow in our relationship with St. Joseph. That's another suggestion for this second of the three pillars, prayer. Do it in secret, Jesus says. You don't have to tell anyone, but God knows if you're renewing your effort to pray, to strengthen your relationship with Him. And the third one is fasting. Fasting not in an external way, in a way that impresses everyone about how we deny ourselves, but fasting in a secret way. Self-denial. The obvious self-denial is food. Today is a fast day. Ash Wednesday is a day to limit our intake of food, no more than one full meal. No meat today. This is the practice of the church. Fasting. One thing about fasting, it certainly will remind us of how demanding our nature is. As soon as we start denying ourselves, we'll feel it. In fact, if you don't feel it, you're probably not really sacrificing. It's supposed to be disturbing. It's supposed to cut into the flesh. In our times, the church also encourages us to fast from, not only from food, but from things that distract us from what is of greater value. And one of the biggest things to fast from nowadays is gadgets and social media. People are addicted to their gadgets and addicted to their connections through their Instagrams and Facebook pages and texting. Examine your own practice. If you find that your use of social media and gadgets is interfering with your relationship with God or your relationship with any person, especially in the family, then that's an indication that you need to fast. Put that gadget away, or don't even pick it up until you're done relating to people in the family, or until you're done with your prayer time. Good discipline, good self-denial. And no one will know that. Nobody will know. But the Father, who sees what is hidden, will see it, and he will repay us. The thing, though, that those are the three things. Be sure to make a clear decision about how you are going to practice almsgiving or charity to others, how you're going to pray, and how you're going to fast in this season of Lent. Starts today. But the thing that people really think about today is the ashes. Ash Wednesday, and everybody comes, and that's why many people are here, to receive ashes. The restrictions of the pandemic come full circle. We can't do the ashes. We can't receive ashes the way we have in the past. There's COVID style. I'm not allowed to touch anyone. So I'll be, instead of tracing the ashes with a cross on your forehead, I'm just going to be sprinkling them on the top of your head. Nobody will see it. You might not even feel it. And you won't know that those ashes are there. So it's a big change. When the announcement came from the Vatican, well, that was weeks ago, that this is what the difference in how we're going to distribute the ashes. I was so disappointed. I said, oh. But in European countries, that's the usual practice. They sprinkle the ashes on the top of the head. So I said, well, that can apply to them if they want to do it that way. But here in the Philippines, we trace the ashes on our forehead with the sign of the cross. So I said, well, maybe that won't be applied here. But then a few weeks later, the Bishops' Conference came out with a whole bunch of regulations how to do Ash Wednesday. And that's it, sprinkle on the top of the head. I said, oh, that's too bad. But maybe here in this diocese, we won't have to follow. And then another week later, we got a circular letter from the diocese, the liturgical commission of the diocese, said, this is how you have to do it. Everybody put on their masks. Everyone put on their face shields. The priest should purify his hands before he distributes the ashes. I don't know why, as if I'm going to put COVID viruses on the ashes. And then sprinkle the ashes on the top of people's heads in silence. I'm not going to say every time, remember you are dust and unto dust you shall return. Only say it one time so that when you approach, it's done in silence. Well, this I found very, disappointing, but one more restriction or one more sacrifice to be made. But one beautiful thing about it, to take a positive side of this practice, it fits the gospel. The practice of getting ashes on our foreheads is a very public display of penance. And we can see everyone who's received ashes. And when we look in the mirror, we can be reminded that we see that we received ashes, that it's Ash Wednesday. I like that. I kind of like that. But Jesus says, when you fast, do not look gloomy. Do not neglect your appearance. Wash your face and anoint your head. So this gospel tells us, do this secretly. And I think that's what will happen today. We won't be able to see who received ashes. Maybe the bald people, maybe we will be able to see. But most people we won't be able to see, because you won't be able to see the ashes. But God can see, as if to say, someone who's above us, looking down at the top of our head, will be able to see that we are fasting, that we are entering into a season of penance, and that we really do want to be renewed. One last thought about the ashes, receiving ashes on the top of the head. It's also a reminder to us of when we were anointed in baptism. So many times when I've done baptisms, and you anoint with chrism on the top of the head. It's a seal. It's a sign of being incorporated into the priestly, prophetic, and kingly mission of Christ. It's a very powerful symbol. And when I trace the chrism on the top of their head, I can feel that soft spot. And the babies have that soft spot on the top of their head, as if to say, because babies are still soft, the grace can sink right in. But we, in our sin, we hardened ourselves. Our heads are hard now. So it's harder for grace to get in. Well, but by sprinkling the ashes on that same spot on the top of the head, we're saying we're sorry for our sins. We repent of our sins, and we are returning to the way of the gospel. We're returning to our baptismal promises. Lent is a time to renew our promises. And when Easter comes, we will renew our baptismal promises and be sprinkled once again with holy water. So that's what we're doing today. We're starting this season. It's a preparation for Easter. It's a renewal. It's repentance. It's penance. It's charity. It's fasting and prayer. It's a great opportunity. Let's not waste it. Let's use it in a way that will bear fruit for ourselves, for our loved ones, for the church, for the world.